do take your seat for a moment, well, 20 minutes or so. It is wonderful to be with you this morning. I don't know what your week has been like. It might have been really joy-filled. It might have been absolutely rubbish. But the cool thing is that we can come to Jesus today and we can worship him and we can learn more from him. Anybody here been to Waterstones? Waterstones. Anybody been to Waterstones? Claudette, I knew Claudette would have been to Waterstones. Anybody else? Waterstones is a bookshop, for those of you that didn't know. Anybody else been? Anybody? Okay, anybody been to Amazon? Anybody buy their books on Amazon? One or two, okay. So you get the, right, so you are in Waterstones. I don't know if you've ever bought a book and you've had it signed as well. Anybody bought a book and had it signed? A few of you, okay. Well, anyway, you buy your book and you've met the author. Do you know what? As I read from Luke 7 today, the Bible is the only book where the author is always present whenever it is read by the power of the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? I read that and I thought, wow. How did I, you know, I kind of knew it, but I think that is pretty neat. So I'm going to, I sounded almost American then. That's pretty neat. Sorry, Claudia. I don't know why I look over at you and Ridgely, because you are very Anglican. I was going to say Anglican, but you're not. You're anglicized. You're also a little bit Anglican, which is very precious, and I love you for it. Might even have a bit of Anglican liturgy in the communion, and I'll keep digging. I might even go in the baptistry. Is that all right? Anyway, right, back to Luke 7. Here we go. Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. It would be really great for you to have it in front of you, but I'm also going to pop it up on the screen. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You judge correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Holy Spirit, would you speak to us through your word, I pray, through the Bible, through this passage, illuminate it, challenge me, challenge us, speak to us, change us. May we become more like you, I pray. Amen. Amen. I've got 11 points to share with you. Now, if you asked David, he would say I should have 3. But as I did this, there was 11 points, and some of them are really quick, some of them are slightly longer. So the first one is this. First of all, Jesus was invited in verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. You don't have to put your hands up now, but who has wondered what a Pharisee is? Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we read these words and we just kind of carry on and we think everybody knows. Well, I've got 6 points on what a Pharisee is. First of all, they were religious leaders in Jesus' day. They studied God's law and knew it well. They stood out as they often dressed in elaborate robes. They thought of themselves as experts of God's laws, but often didn't act the way God wanted. Fifthly, one of the main points of the law was to love people the way God has loved us. The Pharisees weren't known for being loving. And finally, they thought they were important. Jesus often challenged this. Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus over for a meal. Simon's house was probably built around an open courtyard. Often in that courtyard, there would have been a garden and a water feature. Many of the commentaries say a water fountain. I couldn't quite get my head around this because I was thinking that's quite a long time ago. They didn't have the pumps that you and I have got to have that kind of thing. But anyway, it says very clearly it was pretty elaborate. It was also customary that when a rabbi was at a meal in such a house, all kinds of people came in. They were quite free to do so. Uninvited persons would come in and they would eat. They would snatch leftovers. They would also listen to the rabbi, the teacher of the law. And this most likely explains why this woman was there. In verse 36, it also says Jesus reclined at the table. He's likely laid down either on a low sofa or on the ground on a rug of some sort, with his legs to the side, allowing for his right hand to be free to eat. So we have the picture. Jesus has been invited by Simon the Pharisee. We're not sure why, but perhaps because he wanted to have Jesus, the young teacher who was causing a bit of a stir in the area, to ask him questions, maybe to look good amongst his friends, the other Pharisees, and maybe to just check Jesus out. Secondly, in verse 37, ready for Jesus. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life. Let's just pause there for a minute. It's most likely that this was the town's prostitute, which accounts for the host's reaction in verse 39. So a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. The woman we read about in Luke was ready to meet Jesus. She'd bought this alabaster jar of perfume with her. It would have probably cost her around 300 days' wages. 300 days' wages, a significant amount of money. Around £20,000. That is significant. And she was ready to meet Jesus. Most likely had heard about him, wanted to find out more, and she knew she'd messed up, and she came to Jesus with this perfume. What do you and I bring to Jesus today as we come into his presence? This really challenged me. This lady came with all that she had. Thirdly, loved by Jesus in verse 38. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his hair with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Poured perfume on them. Friends, this is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. Jesus is beautifully anointed by this woman. She brings all she had to worship. She realized her need for forgiveness and was welcomed by Jesus. Friends, Jesus did not come merely to make God's love possible, but to make God's love visible. In this holy moment, Jesus demonstrates his love for all those who come to him in worship. As Saint Augustine said, God loves each of us. If that were, God loves each of us as if there were only God loves each of us as if there were only one of us.
The woman with the alabaster jar teaches us a valuable lesson. We all need to come to the point in our lives when we realize that we are nothing without Christ. This woman acted out of sincere faith and love. She washed the Savior's feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. She was so focused on Jesus, she almost forgets those around her. You see, it was not the done thing. This was not the done thing to have your hair down in public and uncovered. She comes to Jesus overwhelmed. No words are recorded. Her actions speak of her receiving the love and welcome of Jesus. It's a holy moment when we respond in utter, unreserved thankfulness for all that Jesus has done for us. Friends, sorrow looks back. Worry looks around, but faith looks up. This woman looked up and received the love of Jesus. Friends, do you know the love of Jesus? There was a little song that I was taught at Sunday school, and it went like this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Friends, come to Jesus as you are. Take a moment with Jesus now. Allow him to speak to you through this short video. Friends, come to Jesus. Be loved by Jesus. Fourthly, surprised by Jesus. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Sometimes I think we're surprised at who Jesus welcomes, and maybe sometimes question who Jesus is. Simon the host watched all that was going on and had a disapproving conversation with himself. There was no way that Jesus was a prophet, as he would know who was touching him, Simon said to himself. Friends, be surprised by who Jesus meets with. Fifthly, be open to Jesus. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Jesus was able to turn a hostile inquiry into an invitation to learning. Jesus had prophetic insight into the fact that Simon was questioning. Are we open to all that Jesus wants to teach us? Are we willing to change to be more like Jesus? Simon answered, "Tell me." But did he really mean it? And was he open to change? I believe we as Jesus' disciples need to be open to all that he has for us. Let's be open to Jesus. Taught by Jesus, verse 41 to 43. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. And now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. This parable is not dissimilar to Nathan's parable to David in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 to 7. Friends, Jesus shows us that love results from forgiveness. Love results from forgiveness. Let's be open to learning more about Jesus from his word. Do you spend time with Jesus on a daily basis? Spend time with Jesus. Be taught by Jesus. Seventhly, challenged by Jesus. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." Jesus challenges Simon. Simon didn't welcome Jesus in the way he should have. He should have given him cool water to wash his feet and greeted him with a kiss to the cheek and anointed his head with oil. I wonder if sometimes you're a bit like Simon and don't give Jesus the place and welcome he deserves. How is Jesus challenging you and I today? Simon knew how he should treat people. He knew the word of God, but didn't live it out. He knew Micah. He knew Micah 6, verse 8, where it said, "No, the Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this, to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God." Friends, be challenged by Jesus. Honoring Jesus. Verse 45, "You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus over to his house only half-heartedly because he didn't give him the welcome an invited guest should receive. Do you and I do the same in our lives? If Jesus Christ came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. I know you'd give him the nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. You'd keep on reassuring him, you were glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would your welcome be sincere, or deep down would you worry that this man had come too near? Or would you have a change of clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put a Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off the PC and hope he had not seen the picture that was showing on your TV screen? Would you hide your world of music, tuck your iPad out of sight? Would you rush about and tidy other things that were not right? I wonder if the Saviour spent a day or two with you, would you choose to keep on doing all those things you often do? Would you choose to keep on saying all those things you often say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation lull or keep its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'll stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever and on and on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person and spent some time with you. Friends, we're called to honor Jesus. How do we welcome him into our lives? Ninthly, forgiven by Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The devotion of the woman is sincere gratitude for the forgiveness she's received. We can often look at the woman and think, wow, she was sinful, but we need to look at ourselves and come to Jesus and fall at his feet. Friends, each of us has messed up. We all sin. Come to Jesus. He welcomes you. This is how Susanna Wesley defines sin to her young son, John Wesley. Whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, and takes off the relish of spiritual things, that to you is sin. What causes you and spoils your relationship with Jesus? Bring it to Jesus, my friends. Billy Graham said this, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we've already come through the storm of judgment. It happened at the cross. Don't be bound by your guilt or your fears any longer, but realize that sin's penalty has already been paid by Jesus Christ, completely and fully. Friends, know today that you are forgiven. It does not matter how bad you've messed up, you are forgiven. It's hard to get our heads around it sometimes. Know deep in your being that you're forgiven. I've got a little story I want to read to you, and I've checked it out, and it's a true story. It's quite remarkable. This story is from a court trial in South Africa. A frail black woman rises slowly to her feet. She's over 70 years of age. Facing across the room are several white security police officers, one of whom, Mr. Vanderbrook, has just been tried and found implicated in the murders of both the woman's son and her husband some years before. He had come to the woman's home, taken her son, shot him at point-blank range, and then set the young man's body on fire while he and his officers partied nearby. Several years later, Vanderbrook and his cohorts had returned to take away her husband as well. For many months, she had heard nothing of his whereabouts. Then, almost 2 years after her husband's disappearance, Vanderbrook came back to fetch the woman herself. How vividly she remembers that evening, going to a place beside a river where she was shown her husband, bound and beaten, but still strong in spirit, lying on a pile of wood. The last words she heard from his lips as the officer poured petrol over his body and set him aflame were, "Father, forgive them." Now the woman stands in the courtroom and listens to the confessions offered by Mr. Vanderbrook. A member of the South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission turns to her and asks, "So what do you want? How should justice be done to this man who has so brutally destroyed your family?" "I want three things," begins the old woman calmly but confidently. "I want first to be taken to the place where my husband's body was burned so that I can gather up the dust and give his remains a decent burial." She pauses, then continues. "My husband and son were my only family. I want secondly, therefore, Mr. Vanderbrook to become my son. I would like for him to come twice a month to the ghetto and spend a day with me so that I can pour out on him whatever love I still have remaining in me. And finally, I would like Mr. Vanderbrook to know that I offer him my forgiveness because Jesus Christ died to forgive our sins. This was also the wish of my husband, and so I would kindly ask someone to come to my side and lead me across the courtroom so that I can take Mr. Vanderbrook in my arms, embrace him, and let him know that he is truly forgiven. As the court assistants come to lead the elderly woman across the room, Mr. Vanderbrook, overwhelmed by what he has just heard, faints. As he does, those in the courtroom, friends, neighbours, all victims of oppression and injustice, begin to sing softly but assuredly, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Friends, we need to embrace Jesus' forgiveness, just as the woman at the well did, and just as the lady in that account I've just read embraced the forgiveness of Jesus and then forgave Mr. Vanderbrook. Jesus longs for us to truly know his forgiveness and embrace. May the Holy Spirit enable us to receive all that Jesus has for us today and in the days ahead. Tenthly, questioning Jesus in verse 49. The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Friends, questions are good. People who met Jesus ask questions. If you're exploring faith in Jesus, keep asking the questions with an open heart. Perhaps consider Alpha as a way of exploring faith. Maybe you're already on Alpha. Friends, keep going. Keep asking the questions. Grapple with the answers, but keep asking the questions. Finally, release to flourish in verse 50. Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Jesus released the woman to flourish. In the same way, Jesus longs for you and I to flourish and be all he is calling us to be. He will never leave you, never forsake you, never mislead you, never forget you, never overlook you, and never cancel an appointment with you. When you fall, he will lift you up. When you fail, he forgives. When you're weak, he is strong. When you are lost, he is the way. When you are afraid, he is your courage. When you stumble, he steadies you. When you are hurt, he heals you. When you are broken, he mends you. When you are blind, he leads you. When you are hungry, he feeds you. When you face trials, he is with you. When you face persecution, he shields you. When you face problems, he comforts you. When you face loss, he provides for you. When you face death, he carries you. He is God, and he is faithful. My dear friends, Jesus was invited. Be ready for Jesus. Loved by Jesus. Even surprised by Jesus. Be open to Jesus. Taught by Jesus. Challenged by Jesus. Honor Jesus. Know Jesus' forgiveness. Keep asking the questions. But friends, be released to flourish and be all that he has for you. He loves you. He welcomes you, just as he welcomed that lady as she came into his presence. Bring what you have to him. The band are going to come up and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have communion together. Come to Jesus this morning. Know his deep forgiveness. He remembers your sins no more. Wow. He remembers them no more. Lord Jesus, we come to you now. And I pray, simply pray that we would know your embrace. That as we pour out what we have, we come in thankfulness, gratitude. But Lord, we worship you because we are forgiven. We are welcomed. It is finished. Thank you that there is not one person who is not welcome in this place, in this village. When we come to you and we are sorry, you welcome us. Wow. May we know your forgiveness. May we live in your forgiveness. And we express your love in the coming days, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.